This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
God is good. He's a good father, isn't he? He knows just what we need before we even know it. I love that about him. There's lots I love about him, but that's one thing I love about him. Well, I've jotted down a few things that God just spoke to us during that worship time together that just, you know, beautifully go with what he's put on my heart to share with you this morning. So I'm sure I'll bring those out a bit later. But I'd like you, if you've got your Bibles, to turn to Hebrews for me, please. Hebrews chapter 3. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, church, I want to exhort you to hear his voice. The title of my message today is Ears to Hear. So that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to look at the who, the how, the what, the when, and the why. Is that okay? How long have we got? We're going to look at the who, the how, the when, the what, the when, and the why. So we need to start with who can hear. It's not a trick question. Well, it is sort of. Jesus gives us the answer in John 10. I'm talking about spiritually. That song we sang this morning, God is good, isn't he, the way he picks the songs? We think we do that, but he does that. He picks all the songs that we're going to sing on a Sunday morning together. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I don't know about you, but I want to hear God's voice. I need to hear God's voice. So who can hear God's voice? I used to think that all you needed to be able to hear was a set of ears. But actually, after looking through Scripture and listening to what God's been saying to me, it's actually not the case. Not everyone is able to hear God. So who can hear God? John 10, 1-3, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth. Jesus is so good, isn't he? He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to tell you a maybe, I'm going to tell you a possibly. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you it like it is. This is how it is. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. I'm a sheep. Are you a sheep? Who's a sheep? Bah, I'm a sheep. That is a great scripture. We are designed, we are made to hear his voice. We are designed to hear his voice. We are his sheep. We have yielded our lives to him, and it is his design and his plan and his purpose for us to hear his voice. He didn't mean for it to be hard. He didn't mean for it to be difficult. You don't have to do a degree and study a big course. He wants you to hear his voice. We need to believe it. I think sometimes that we think it's for everybody else. It's for the pastor or the elders or the Bible study teacher, or it's for all of us. If you're a sheep, he wants you to hear and recognize and know his voice. Psalm 139 tells us that he made us, all the delicate and intricate parts of my body, he was the one who put it together. So he, when he made me in his image, he made me to be able to hear his voice. I think we need to have that foundation first of all, because if you doubt, if you don't think it's for you, if you're not knowing that you absolutely can hear his voice, then you could have a problem. It's God's design that we hear his voice. I first was thinking about Moses, and you may have all heard this story before. It's not a story. You may have heard teaching on this before, and I know David's talked about it before in Exodus, and it's a really sad part of the Bible, actually, for me. The children of Israel have been, God did amazing things, and it wasn't that long until they forgot all those great things that he did for them. But he did amazing things for them, and he proved himself and showed himself. And then he calls them to himself. He says, come to me, all of you. He wanted all of the children to come up on the mountain. You know that it wasn't meant to just be Moses. He wanted all the people to come and hear his voice. And in Exodus 20, we read that the people stood at a distance, trembling with fear, and they said to Moses, you talk to us, Moses. You go and you hear what God's got to say, and then you come back and tell us, and we'll listen, and we will do what God says, but we don't want to hear him for ourselves. They were scared to hear him. That's a scary thought, isn't it? God calls us and wants us to come, and I think sometimes we can say, oh no, God, that's too much for me. You just tell Pastor David what you want us to do. I'll go to church on Sunday and I'll listen to him and I'll do what you say, but you tell him and I'll do that. The truth is they actually didn't even do what God had asked them to do. Why? Because they didn't hear it for themselves. When you hear a word from God for yourself, no one can change your mind. No one can convince you otherwise. When you hear God speak something to you, there's nothing that can take that away. We should come and we should hear what Pastor David has to say. And we should come and have good teaching and encourage each other and exhort each other, but not at the expense of hearing God for ourselves. That's my point this morning. So who can hear? You can hear. Every single one of you here this morning can hear God for yourself, and he wants you to. So that's okay. I know I can, but how? How? Sometimes we don't like to do the basic steps of how we do it. So I want to just give you a few ideas this morning. Isaiah 55:3 says this, come to me, says God, with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. You all were created with a spirit, soul, and a body. You have spiritual senses, right? We do have natural. We can see, hear, smell, touch, taste. We also have spiritual senses. I don't often, if ever, hear God with my natural ears. Some do. He can do that. God can do whatever he likes. Personally, for me, that's not how I hear him speak to me, with my natural hearing. I hear him with the ears of my heart. Do you know that your heart, your spirit has ears, and your spirit has eyes? I hear him with the spirit, with the ears of my heart. My heart has heard you say. Have you ever thought about that scripture in Psalms? My heart has heard you say. That's a funny thing to say. It's normally my ears have heard you say, My heart has heard you say, God, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. We have spiritual ears, and that's how we hear God. Sometimes we hear the voice of God, but we don't recognize it. And we need someone who knows how to recognize God's voice to teach us what that sounds like. Think of Samuel. I think we mentioned him a couple of weeks ago. Think about Samuel. He heard God call him, Samuel. He got up, he ran to Eli and said, Eli, did you call me? Three times that happened. So consider that. The voice of God sounded familiar to Samuel, didn't it? It sounded like someone he knew. He thought it was Eli. So the voice of God is going to sound like someone you know, something you know. Samuel just needed somebody to explain to him. It took Eli a little while because he actually wasn't hearing the voice of God himself too well at the time. He'd forgotten, but it clicked after about the third time and he said, okay, that is God. Sometimes, you know, I've been to spiritual elders, spiritual mothers and fathers and explains, you know, told them something. They said, that's God talking to you. Sometimes we hear him but don't recognize him. I would encourage you to, if you're young in the Lord, or even if this is not something you've thought about before, to find someone who hears the voice of God and recognizes the voice of God and go and talk to them. Look in the Bible. They're our best examples of people who heard God and what that looked like and what it sounded like. Think about Elijah's experience. If you've read about Elijah and when he ran away and God wanted to get his attention and God wanted to speak to him, here's a man of God again who had done some amazing things, and then something happened and he ran away from God and he tried to run. God wanted to speak something to him. And it says in the Bible that Elijah didn't hear God in the big, loud, strong wind. He didn't hear a big, booming voice of God saying, Elijah, I want to. I don't know. That's not what God sounds like. Elijah. He didn't hear him in the big wind. He didn't hear him in the earthquake. He didn't hear him in the fire. Where did he hear him? With a still, small voice. God can speak in the thunder, and he can speak with a big, booming voice. And sometimes he's had to say that to me, Karen, and whack me on the head at the same time to get my attention. But every day, that's not how he wants to have to speak to us. If I go to my family every day and say, hey, I want to get your attention, and they probably think I do that, and you better listen to me, that's not going to go. You know, we don't talk like that around the dinner table together, or when I say good morning, good morning. That's not how it happens. God doesn't want to have to get our attention that way. He wants to hear us in the still, small voice. Did you know that you can not only hear with your heart, but you can hear with your eyes? Did you know that? Joan actually said it this morning, that prophet, that word. She said, without speaking a word, Jesus said. What a funny thing to say. Without speaking a word, Jesus said, do you know that I can say a lot without saying anything? If you're married or have children or are a child, you know. David this morning in the prophetic word said, God wants us to start to look and see. I want you to turn with me to Habakkuk 2. Verse 1, to show that you can hear with your eyes. Habakkuk 2, verse 1 says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. Now listen to what he says. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. That's not how we usually talk. We usually say, I will listen to hear what you're saying to me. But here he says, I'm going to go to my watchtower, or in other words, I'm going to go where it's quiet and I'm all alone, and I'm going to watch to see what the Lord will say to me. Are you watching to see what God's saying to you? Do you know that Jesus spoke in parables? He spoke in pictures to people all the time. In Matthew 6:25, it's the parable where he's talking about, don't worry about what you're going to eat, don't worry about what you're going to drink, don't worry about what you're going to wear. So he's talking to them and teaching them. And then he says, look at the birds. Look at the lilies. So he's saying, hear what I'm saying. Look at this. Look at that. He spoke in pictures all the time. We are picture people, some more than others. Some are very creative and see pictures in everything. Some are more analytical and information-based. But generally, we think in pictures. And God shows us pictures and he wants to show you things. So maybe you're not recognizing the voice of God because you don't realize that's one way that he speaks. He shows you things and he wants to show you things. Ask him to show you things. You know he wants to. When you're praying, try it out. We shouldn't be afraid to try the Bible and see. We believe it's true. Let's try it. Okay, God, you said it. Let me give it a go. Let me see if you'll do that. I believe you can. Pray and ask him to show you. I had a very interesting experience this week myself doing that. I was praying for my family and I was just talking with God. I got a picture in my mind about, I saw some members of my family. I could see their faces and I could see Jesus standing in the room with them and holding one hand and holding the other hand and standing in between them. And I thought, wow, that was so encouraging to me. He didn't say anything that my ears could hear, but that has blessed me beyond measure and has changed the way I pray about that. God wants to show you things. Joel 2 promises that. In the end times, and we're in the last days, he wants to pour out dreams and visions and he wants you to see what he sees. Because I can think I need to pray a certain way. But God shows me a picture and says, look what I'm doing changes the way I pray altogether. He wants to show you things. So how? There's many different ways. There is, we can hear his loud booming voice, but in the stillness, in the quiet, it's going to be a voice that you recognize. It's going to be a voice that you know. And don't we do that whole thing, oh God, that might have been me. Was that me or was that you? If it was anything good, it wasn't you. We need to, seriously, in a way, we are too analytical. We need to trust that. If I pray and say, God, order my steps. God, I only want to hear your voice right now. I silence every other voice, my own voice, and I just want to hear your voice, God. We have to trust that that next voice we hear is going to be his. Can he do that or not? Is he bigger than me or not? Yes, he's far bigger than my thoughts. Why would I ever think anything good? If I'm surrendered to him, you need to trust more. We do this whole thing, oh no, that was probably my thought, God. It was probably my thought that I should go and be nice to that person and ask, nah, I don't think so. That was him. We need to trust it more is what I'm saying. I'm trying to say don't overthink it. If you pray and say, God, I want to hear your voice. I am your child. You want me to hear your voice. Trust that the voice you're going to hear is going to be his. Line it up with the word. Seek spiritual wise counsel about it, but trust that you can hear God for yourself. And the more you do that, the more confident you will be in doing that. Okay, let's move on. I want to have a look at maybe then what. So we've looked at who, how, what. What can stop you from hearing? The Bible gives us a big list of hearing problems. The Bible's really clever like that. It says that we can have dull, heavy hearing. In Hebrews 5 and Isaiah 6, it tells us that. We can have itching ears. We know that we can have itching ears, just wanting to hear what we want to hear, not interested in what God wants to say, but just what makes me happy. We can have, in 2 Timothy, it actually says we can have something called turned ears. In other words, we turn our ears away from God. We turn our ears away from him. I've done that. I've had turned ears lots of times. Lots of times this week. No, God, I really don't want to hear you about that. La, 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 la. Don't want to hear you. We can have turned ears. We can have uncircumcised ears. Acts 7:51 tells us that we can have uncircumcised ears. Circumcision in the Bible talks about the cutting away of flesh. So we can let our fleshy, natural ears get in the way if we refuse to yield to God. We can have blocked ears. In Zechariah 7:11, it tells us that disobedience stops up our ears. That's scary, isn't it? You're disobedient, I'm disobedient. It's like I'm sticking cotton wool in my ears. The more disobedient I am, the more stuff I'm stopping up my ears. I can't hear God in disobedience. So we can have dull, heavy hearing. We can have itching ears. We can have turned ears. We can have uncircumcised ears. We can have blocked ears. But the good news is there's a cure for all of those things. And the answer to that is surrender. It's surrender. It's saying, God, I surrender to you. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are different from my thoughts, but you want me to hear you, and I am in that place. I surrender to you, and I will hear your voice. Everyone going okay? So now I want to look at when. When can you hear God's voice? Well, I believe that God can speak to us at any time. He is speaking all the time. I've probably shared this with you before. It's just such a good picture someone taught me about hearing God's voice. It's like, it's like the radio frequencies or the television. The frequencies don't just come when I turn my TV on. They're there all the time. They're in the air, aren't they? I don't know much about that stuff, Nigel. Technology. I think that's what happens. They're in the air all the time. But we turn on the receiver and we can hear, right? So I believe God is talking all the time. And I do believe that God can talk even in the midst of chaos, absolute chaos. He said that to me this week. I was out walking and I was talking to him, and he said, even in the middle of your chaos, I can speak to you. And he took me to Genesis. Let's have a look. I wasn't going to do this, but let's just go there quickly to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, right at the beginning. And, you know, if you look in, we're going to look now together in Genesis, but then if you later on when you're at home have a look at the end of Revelation, I think it's chapter 2, it says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. God is talking to us. He talks to us in the beginning of the Bible. He's talking to us at the end of the Bible. He's speaking to us all the way through the Bible. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. So what does that describe? Chaos. There's chaos. There's no form. It's empty. It's dark. There's darkness all around. There's no order to anything. And then in verse 3 it says, and then God said. And he spoke into the chaos, and he created order, and he created light. So I believe God can absolutely speak even in the midst of chaos. He can speak to us and we can recognize his voice. But I do believe on a day-to-day basis there's positions that we can put ourselves in to better hear his voice. And we need to learn how to do that in the stillness, in the quiet hour I wait only for you. We need to learn how to be still. In our society, in our generation, that's a very difficult thing to do. But it's something that we have to purpose to do. Be still. Quiet your soul. Quiet down, soul. It doesn't take very long for you to do that. Do you know that? You don't have to spend an hour quietening down. You can be chaos, chaos, chaos. Be quiet. That's how easy it is. Be quiet. Talk to yourself. Be quiet. Quiet down, soul. Turn down the noise in your life. Just get the dial. There's so much noise going on. Sometimes we're not even aware of it. We're not aware. And all of a sudden, I don't know if that's happened to you, all of a sudden you get to a stage where you think, whoa, it's noisy in my life. It's so noisy. How did this happen? We've got to quiet down, turn down the noise, be deliberate. It has to be a deliberate choice to hear God's voice. And most of all, expect to hear from God. Expect to hear from God. Don't dismiss or miss him speaking. Learn to recognize the ways that he speaks. And you know, he knows each one of us so well, and he knows how each one of us hear him best. So he will show you for yourself. But I would encourage you to be still. Find that quiet. There is no other way, church. Sometimes we want to have someone say, oh no, you don't have to carve out time in your life. You can, Pam, you've spoken on this in communion perfectly. You know, I can talk to you, God, while I'm driving, and I can. And I can talk to you while I'm cooking dinner, and I could, yes, I can do all that. But if you remember a little while ago, I talked about intimacy with God, and one of his primary love languages, I believe, is quality time, where he wants your undivided, focused attention. When you fix your eyes, do you know how everybody loves that? I don't care if that's not your quality, if that's not your love language or not. Everybody loves it. It's very distracting when you're trying to have a conversation with someone and you know their mind's not with you. And they're looking somewhere else, or you just know that they're not engaged in the conversation. It's so wonderful when you've got someone's undivided attention and they're looking in your eyes and they're waiting on every word that you speak. That's what God wants from us. Look at him. Behold his face. Look into his eyes. Hang on every word he's about to say to you. So there is no other way, church. We need to find deliberate time where we quiet ourselves down. However that looks for you, walking in the forest, sitting in your office, sitting in your bedroom, wherever that place is, as long as it's quiet and undivided attention. And what I've just described, hearing God, listening to him, it's a description of prayer, isn't it? We have one aspect of prayer down pat. We know very well how to bring our petitions and our needs to God, and we should do that. But I think we've practiced that and we've actually got that down pretty well. We even know how to praise him and thank him pretty well, don't we? We praise him, we thank him. How much time in your prayer life do you spend listening? Because that's what prayer is about. It's not a one-way conversation. It's a dialogue. One of my worst habits, and I don't want anyone to put their hand up agreeing with me about this, I am an interrupter. I'm shocking. I am such a bad interrupter when people are talking. But I've got to learn to curb that and think about what I'm doing. I do that with God. And I'm sure most of us have done that with God, where we ask him something and he's trying to give us, maybe trying to speak to us about that, show us, and we've already, oh, okay, God, you know, I know that. I'll just move on to the next thing now. Oh, yep, okay, God, I know that. Yep, oh, yeah, I know that. I'll just move on to the next thing. Don't be an interrupter. Be a listener. God wants you to listen as much as he wants you to speak with him. All right. Why should I hear God's voice? Why should I hear God's voice? Proverbs 2 says this. Proverbs 2 verse 1. My son, my daughter, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Why do I need to hear from God? Because from his mouth comes knowledge, understanding, wisdom, everything I need. His words are life. His words are life, and I need it. So why do I need to hear him? Because he has the plan for my life. And I need to know what he wants me to do. And corporately here together as a body, he tells us what he wants us to do for as a body. But in my own quiet time, I need to know what he wants to do about my situation. God, what do you want me to do about my workplace? Where, how do you want me to behave? How do you want me to relate to my husband, to my children, to my wife, to my mother? I need to hear from him. He has the words of life for me, and no one else has it. Nobody else has it for me, only him. And I need to know it. I need to listen to him so that I will live. I need to listen to him so I can be healed and restored and made whole. Acts 28 tells us that his words and my hearing and acting on what he says brings healing, restoration, and I am made whole. I need to listen to God because he invites me to. He invites me to come and hear his voice. He wants to whisper things into my ear and tell me things that no one else has ever told me before. I need to listen because he calls. We listen because we're made. I need to listen because I am made and designed and created to hear his voice. And until we satisfy that, we won't be happy. We try and satisfy it with everything else. The world's wisdom would say, have things, have success, have your life should look like this. No troubles, no anxiety, you know, any of those things. I need to hear God's voice because only he has the answer. God never intended that you or I should carry the burdens that we carry. We wonder why we struggle with the weight. I wonder why sometimes I feel like I'm walking around like I'm dragging my heels, and God says, you were never made to do it. I never made your shoulders strong enough to carry that weight. I never made your mind strong enough to be able to figure all that out. I never made your emotions strong enough to be able to carry that. I made you so that you would depend on me because I'm strong enough, he says. I'm all you need. He intended that we should come to him, that we would acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will show us the path that we should take. That's why I need to hear from him. And I exhort you today, church. I encourage you. I beg you. I beseech you. All those words that Paul would use to seek to know the Lord, to hear his voice for yourself. He wants to speak to you. You were designed to hear his voice. Let's pray. Father, should we hear? I thank you. You are a good, good Father. And your words are life to me. Your words are life to us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be our teacher, that we would allow you to be our teacher. We would allow you to counsel and guide and correct and encourage and all of those things, Holy Spirit, that we would allow you free access in our life to do that. And Lord, if we have any of those hearing conditions, if we've become dull of hearing, or our ears have been itching to hear something else, or they seem like they're a little bit blocked up, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would show us our condition and that we would come to you for healing so that our ears would be wide open and tuned to you and hearing your voice and obeying and doing what you are asking us to do. Thank you for your words of life, God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Nombol Christian Fellowship.